Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Remember we used to say in the good old days, don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion? Remember that? Now it's don't tell Paul Ryan what comes after a trillion. You know, the repub. The spending bill that the Republicans have negotiated with the Democrats is expected to be signed into law by Donald Trump, and that means that we have a $1 trillion budget through September of this year, so less than half a year, 5 months, $1 trillion. So really now it's don't tell Trump what comes after a trillion. This budget funds Planned Parenthood. It doesn't fund the wall. We've already been telling our audience that since Trump has been in office, over 100 million of your tax dollars, estimated, has gone to Planned Parenthood. And he's fought to stop other spending that he disagreed with, but not the Planned Parenthood spending. And now this budget, this is a Republican budget under Republican Donald Trump's administration, fully funding Planned Parenthood, but not a dime for the wall. So is this surprising? No, this is exactly what we have warned you about all these years. You know, when Republicans will compromise on killing children, we're talking about the intentional killing of children. It's like they used to talk about killing puppies or killing kittens, like that was such a horror. We're talking about killing children, which is part of the effective Republican platform. Killing children. Which children? Well, they have their exceptions. But you see, exceptions are the window to the soul. So ever since World War II, and this was 20-some years ago when I first looked into this. And so since then, the Democratic and then Republican administrations, it's just you haven't had to look into it. It's just reinforced. It's just obvious. But the Republicans have always outspent the Democrats. And I'm not talking about defense spending. Take defense spending right off the table. I'm talking about social programs, social spending, domestic spending. The Republicans have always outspent the Democrats. So here we have, and the Democrats are celebrating this. I mean, they are high-fiving one another because they got Obama's budget from the Republican House and the Republican Senate and Donald Trump's White House. They got Obama's budget only improved. They're so excited. So they call it a bipartisan agreement. You know, that's code, that's lingo for bleeding the country to death. That's lingo for euthanasia, bipartisan agreements. And you know what, really, we're talking about money here, and the annual deficit, the national debt, is like stealing from the next generation. That's what it is. We are stealing money from our kids and grandkids so that we could spend like drunken sailors. That's what it is. But in reality, this financial malfeasance and this looting of our children is nothing compared to the killing of our children, to the killing of the next generation. So really, this is all just symptomatic because when the Republicans will kill children, don't be surprised when they will fund the killing of children. Should that surprise anyone? And we've pointed out, and I'll do it again a bit later in the show, but that the Republicans have been outspending the Democrats, for Planned Parenthood now for decades. Outspending. The more pro-life the president, the more money he's given to Planned Parenthood. George W. Bush was said to be our most pro-life president, and he gave Planned Parenthood $1 billion more than Bill Clinton had given them in 8 years. And the Clintons do fundraisers for Planned Parenthood. Oh, wait, so did the Bush family. Forgot. So this bipartisan agreement is a $1 trillion funding package from May through September. 5 months. So the Democrats have won major concessions, they say, from the Republicans. And I call them the Republicans because back in the Lord's day, Jesus had problems with the publicans. Remember that? He would confront the publicans. So a couple thousand years later, some conservatives thought, well, let's try this again. And they just started up the Republicans. So it's the Democrats and the Republicans. So Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer, leaders of the Democrats in the House and the Senate, they are ecstatic that they got $5 billion in additional domestic spending above what Obama was able to get from the Republicans in the House and the Senate. And as now Donald Trump is expected to sign this bloated, socialist, child-killing budget. So they got this money from Trump and the Republican lawmakers. They're calling it a lopsided victory. And it is something, right? The Republicans won most of the seats, forget about the federal government, in the whole country. Most of the governorships, most of the state legislatures. They won it all with the House and the Senate and the U.S. Supreme Court. Which is what? Is it 6 of the 9 now are Republican justices? 5.5 of the 9? And we have the executive branch, and they say it's a lopsided victory for the Democrats. They won their lopsided victory, and as far as they're concerned, they now have the blueprint for Trump's 2018 budget. And if history is any indication, as we predicted on this show, as we have stated from history, Republican presidents have always outspent their predecessor Democratic presidents, always. Or if the predecessor was a Republican, because they're tax and spend. I mean, they will cut taxes now and then, but only to increase taxes. And if you are going to increase spending beyond taxes, that's even more irresponsible because you're pretending like you're being fiscally responsible, but you're saddling your grandchildren with a curse. So it's so funny, you know, with the Republicans. I mean, what can they do when they're in the minority and the Democrats introduce the spending bill in the House of Representatives, and the Republicans in the minority say, oh, this is terrible, they're hand-wringing, they're just beside themselves, and they could vote against it, but then they'll be the party of no, they'll be the naysayers, and they'll be guilty of shutting down the government as when they're in the minority. And so they say, enough of them say, you know, we have no choice, we can't shut down the government. Why not? People celebrate when the government is shut down. But anyway, they say we can't shut down the government, so we just have to agree to this budget that's being passed by the majority, by the Democrats. So we just have to. We're in the minority. What can we possibly do? Because we would get blamed for shutting down the government. So they vote for the Democratic budget. So when the Republicans are the majority, and now the Democrats are in the minority, the Republicans introduce the budget, and they say, well, we have to give the Democrats all the money they want to spend, because otherwise they would shut down the government. And you say, yeah, so if the Democrats are shutting down the government as the minority party, then they would be doing exactly what you as the minority Republicans would have been accused of doing. So if you did it and it was so bad, then if the Democrats do it, it's so bad. Let them get blamed for shutting down the government. But no, the Republicans are timid. They don't stand on principles that are valid. They compromise on valid principles, and they adhere to the ideas that are fundamentally immoral. You see, the left, liberals, pro-aborts, sodomites, evolutionists, atheists, humanists, they could compromise on every moral issue. They could compromise, and with each compromise, it's a victory. Does that make sense? As an immoral person has an immoral agenda, and they compromise on morality, they win. When a moral person who wants to do right, wants to honor God, compromises on, just pick, say it's do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Pick a moral principle. And then the person who ostensibly is following the Lord, he compromises on what God has revealed as his enduring moral principles, then he has lost. So when the wicked compromise, they have won a victory for their wickedness. It's really a loss for them too, because every time a wicked person accomplishes wickedness, they're losing. They don't realize that. But that's too deep right now for whatever public school teacher might be tuning in right now. So we'll skip all that, and we'll just stick to the more superficial analysis. So when the wicked person compromises on morality, it's a victory. When someone who ostensibly knows right from wrong and cares about biblical values, the Judeo-Christian worldview, what God has revealed to us in the Ten Commandments, for example, and they compromise on do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, no, don't fornicate, no sexual behavior outside of marriage, no trafficking in human sexuality, all that. And they compromise, as for example, focus on the family, saying, well, we need to regulate the pornography industry. We need to regulate them. Or we need to regulate homosexuality. Or we need to regulate child killing. So you are compromising on God's commands. God didn't tell his people, fight to regulate the gassing of Jews. Fight to regulate the lynching of blacks. Fight to regulate that which is wicked. God didn't tell us that. God told us to oppose wickedness, to fight against wickedness, to expose wickedness, not to join up with wickedness in a way to regulate it so that it's more palatable for everyone. So when the Republicans, who I keep using the word ostensibly, represent the conservative Christian base, when they compromise on morality, like right now, by funding Planned Parenthood, by giving the child killers tens of millions of dollars, it'll be hundreds of millions by the time it's over. That's a compromise, no? Is that a compromise? I mean, if you were trying to fight against the wickedness in Germany in 1939, 1940, 41, and you said, well, I know they're slaughtering people in these concentration camps, but we can't let the government shut down. So I'm going to sign this budget. I'm going to lobby for this budget that gives $13 million to Auschwitz and $7 million to Mauthausen. That's where our dear friend Martin Small was a prisoner in Mauthausen, one of the worst ever. He wrote a book called Remember Us. Or Ravensbrück, or Sobibor, and not dollars, but marks. And you're going to agree to a spending bill that funds them because, well, you can't just let the government shut down. I mean, you'd look bad. So at any rate, this is what we're up against after a generation, actually a couple generations of our Christian leaders, starting from James Dobson on down through Concerned Women for America and the pro-family activist groups like Eagle Forum, National Right to Life, the whole bunch of them. Except for the abolition community, no, they're different. Except for the personhood movement, no, they're different. But all of these Christian leaders who have advocated that we support child killers, and they called these dead babies exceptions. And they said, you know, politics is the art of the possible. And they try to make you sound stupid when you quote the Bible and they quote the Federalist Papers. Well, you know, Federalist 22 says this has all been completely predictable, completely expected, continuing history. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 17,000 times, shame on me and all the idiots with me. So Schumer, they're high-fiving one another after the Republicans passed Obama's budget for 2017. They're high-fiving one another. Pelosi, she would have high-fived, but she'd have been knocked over. So she couldn't. After World War II, since World War II, my recollection is that the Republicans, even in the early administrations after World War II, and I know this for a certainty in the last quarter of a century, more than a quarter of a century, since Ronald Reagan. But as I recall, when I began on the radio way back 26 years ago, that I had researched it out, the early administrations after World War II. So World War II was what? FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, and then Harry Truman followed him. They were Democrats. So then you have who? Eisenhower. And so the Republicans outspending the previous Democratic administrations on domestic spending. After Eisenhower was Kennedy, Democrat, and Lyndon Johnson, Democrat. And then we had Richard Nixon. I remember as a kid campaigning for Richard Nixon. I remember that because he was against the communists. I mean, I was a kid, right? And he was against the communists, so I knew that much. And then after Nixon, Gerald Ford. And then, sure enough, they were outspent by Jimmy Carter on domestic spending, but in comes Ronald Reagan and wildly outspends his Democratic predecessors, only to be outdone again by George H.W. Bush, who outspent even Ronald Reagan. And then Bill Clinton came in, and for various reasons, including deception, the annual deficit reduced, but still record spending. And then George W. Bush came in. He was against out-of-control spending. He's going to balance the budget. And he vastly outspent Bill Clinton in domestic spending. I'm not talking about defense spending. Take that off the books. And then George W. Bush had prepared the way for Barack Obama. And Obama spent, we talked about like a drunken sailor. He spent like an entire drunken naval base. And that's when it started, the saying, don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion. Because the very first thing he did was say he wanted to spend $1 trillion in his stimulus, shovel-ready projects. Shovel-ready. So they actually couldn't spend that much. They couldn't find that many projects to spend money on. They spent something like $700 billion. And then Trump wins the White House. He says, well, he wants to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Hey, if Obama got $1 trillion, I want to get $1 trillion. But anyway, that hasn't happened yet. But Donald Trump, so far, is on record to outspend Barack Obama on domestic spending. So far. And on giving money to the child-killing industry, specifically Planned Parenthood and other child killers. So that's where we're at. Now, you remember, as we have covered, how the Republicans have always taken care of Planned Parenthood. Regardless of their rhetoric in the campaigns, they've always taken care of Planned Parenthood. Now, you might think, well, that doesn't make sense because Planned Parenthood hates the Republicans, hates them. And yeah, there's a good deal of that. I mean, for a long time, Hillary Clinton hated Bill Clinton. They seem to have gotten over that. But yeah, there's a lot of hatred. I mean, the Nazis hated the Marxist, even though there's hardly a dime's worth of difference in their social programs and their tax and spend from cradle to grave. So the Nazis hated the Marxist, right? Marxism is communism, and the Nazis, N-A-Z-I, it's the National Socialist. That's what Nazi stands for. National Socialist. Socialists are people who believe that the government should take care of you from cradle to grave. And so you have high taxes, high spending, which is what you get under Republicans and Democrats. It's almost like there's Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B. So at any rate, you know, we've done this with the Bush family, right? I just mentioned that the most pro-life president in history, according to National Right to Life, and name your favorite bogus pro-life leader. Just name them. Did I say bogus? Name your favorite pro-life leader outside of the abolition and personhood movement. Name your favorite bogus pro-life leader. And they'll have told you somewhere along the line that George W. Bush was the most pro-life president we ever had. Well, then why did he give Planned Parenthood $2.2 billion? And by the way, most of that was with Republican control of Congress and the U.S. Supreme Court. They had the U.S. Supreme Court for all 8 years. And they had Republican control of the House and the Senate for, what, 4 years? And they still gave $1 billion more to Planned Parenthood than did Bill Clinton. So before George W., there was his father, George H.W. Bush. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars have gone to Planned Parenthood under something called family planning. That's where you kill your child because you didn't plan for your child, so you kill it. And family planning, called Title X funding, was introduced by George H.W. Bush. He's the one who gave us family planning, Title X funding. The Bush family. I've pointed out that Jeb Bush sat on the board of a foundation giving tens of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. He was a board member until he launched his bid for the presidential nomination from the Republicans. And he would need these stupid Christian pro-lifers to vote for him and to give him money. So he got off the board because he didn't have to continue to give Planned Parenthood tens of millions of dollars as a board member of this foundation while he was in his primary. I mean, after he win the White House, get out of the White House, he could go back on the board. And then there was Paul Ryan just, what, a year and a half ago, saying that Planned Parenthood should not get one red cent. Those were his words. Not one red cent of your hard-earned tax dollars should go to Planned Parenthood. And then he, what, fully funded Planned Parenthood for Obama in 2016. And then he's continued it now with Donald Trump, fully funding Planned Parenthood for Donald Trump with this latest $1 trillion continuing resolution, the bipartisan agreement to fund the government with $1 trillion through September. And you'll remember, if you listen to this show, that Roe v. Wade was written by a Republican Supreme Court Justice, Harry Blackmun, and it was passed by a Republican majority. So Sean Hannity lies to you. He lies to you. And fill in the name of your favorite pro-life leader. If you're Catholic, Father Frank Pavone lies to you. It's hard to find all that many bishops who are really fighting against abortion anymore. So I'll name Frank Pavone. National Right to Life, they do nothing but lie to you. They've opposed the right to life now for decades. Any law that says the unborn child has a right to life, they oppose it systematically. And they will oppose it on principle. They're against it. And any politician in a primary who says that the unborn child has a right to life, they oppose him. They will only support laws and politicians who authorize the killing of some children. So that's what we've been up against, and history has continued. And people send me every day, I get my happy news about Donald Trump. It's all wonderful. You know, it's just so great that my child-killing president is making things better for me. I mean, healthcare might be better for me. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, my taxes might go down. And the only price they ask me to pay is to look the other way as Donald Trump slaughters the innocent, as he gives tens of millions of dollars to the nation's number one abortionist, Planned Parenthood. Those are, you know, minor prices to pay when you're talking about a better economy. Aren't they minor? It's minor. So your child killer is always worse than their child killer. Your child killer is always worse than their child killer. And that is doubly true when you name the name of Christ and you lie about your child killer and you defend your child killer. And what comes around goes around. And the curse on the nation becomes personal when you become a defender of those who slaughter the innocent. That curse becomes personal. It comes into your family. It comes into your marriage. It comes into your life. It gets to the core of your soul. Don't sell out for lower taxes. Don't sell out for a sense of greater security. Don't sell out. What would you sell out for? Well, the answer should be for nothing. I'm not going to defend those who kill the innocent, those who sodomize their neighbors, those who steal from others so that their lives could be better. The Bible calls us to know right from wrong and to expose the wicked of their evil deeds. So this is Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and our website, kgov.com. If you're curious about these things and you've never heard some of these things before, please check us out on the web, kgov.com. May God bless you.